I want to share this morning about, we're going to finish up the book of Colossians today. Yes, at the end of the service, we're going to go outside here through this door and have like a ceremonial, a groundbreaking ceremony for the new building. We want the kids to get up in the front, and I got one shovel. I brought one. I don't know if anybody else brought one, but have the kids hold it, and then we're going to take a picture and write a little article up and put it in the paper. And hopefully within another week or two, we'll have all of our permits in place and we'll start working. You guys ready?
Yeah.
A couple people are. So we'll start working and knock that out hopefully this fall. Okay. At the end of the service today also, what I want to do is we're going to have Tim Vlaiku come up for prayer for a little while. Maybe some people want to pray for him. Here's the reason. You know, there's been, over the past 6 or 7 weeks, I keep running into people who've had deaths in their family, you know, someone close to them, and, you know, There's a process you can help people walk through. And Tim and Mary Ann, they lost their daughter to cancer, I don't know what it's been, almost 2 years ago now? 3 years ago? Okay. And, since that time, I know Tim and Mary Ann have started kind of a Bible study, and they've invited people to come who are grieving for whatever reason, for many different reasons. And they've had the ability to touch some lives and encouragement with that. And I've asked him if he would be interested in maybe doing some sort of a grief small group. It would be kind of a set time, 4, 5, 6, 8 weeks, whatever, and do it periodically through the year and obviously minister to people in our church that might have a need for that kind of fellowship. But open it into our community, because there's a lot of people out here who don't even know the Lord that experience that kind of a loss. It'd be a great time to reach out to them. So Tim's interested, but he wanted to get prayer for it. And so we're going to pray for him afterwards over here. And if you're interested in coming to pray for him, or maybe you have a word from the Lord about it, he really wants to hear from the Lord about that decision. So, okay. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 4, and I want to share with you this morning, fairly quickly to close up this book, and it's a simple message, but I believe it's a very important one for us to hear, and the title is called A Nudge to Go Further. We all need a nudge in our life once in a while. We kind of get settled in our walk with the Lord, or maybe we're just coasting. And we need somebody to come and light a fire or urge us or prod us or somehow inspire us to move on. And I think to some degree, at least as I'm reading this chapter, that's what I get out of this last book, the last chapter of the book of Colossians. And I want to share it with you. The other night we were up at the mall, witnessing and sharing the gospel with people. And it was odd that I spoke, the people I spoke to that night, 4 of them were already Christians. They said they knew Jesus. And my follow-up question was, are you following him? And every one of them said no. It was like, yeah, I know him, but I'm just kind of doing my own thing. And it really grieved me to hear that. I wonder, what in the world is it that causes a person who's had a revelation of Jesus Christ and what he's done in your life and the salvation that came through him to somehow push him aside to like the back burner of their life. That following him and being zealous for him is no longer a desire. And it wasn't, I asked him, I said, did you have a bad church experience, or was there something in your life that hurt you around Christianity that made you feel, I just can't be around church people? And none of them, that wasn't the case for any of them. They just one day gave their heart to Jesus and decided they're just not going to follow him. And it burdened me, and I wonder how many of us might be there or could easily fall into that category. I know him, but I follow at a distance. You know, I kind of hear him once in a while, but I really haven't crossed that line to say, I'm all in, Lord. Whatever it is you want is what I want. I was reading a story about the Alamo. Remember that story? And in that story, the guys in the Alamo, there was a couple hundred of them, were outnumbered by about 6,000 Mexicans, and they knew the end was coming. They knew it was basically over, and Colonel Travis got up in front of the men and basically said, guys, this is it. You know, we're going to die for our country right here. And he took his sword out, and he walked in front of all the men, and he drew a line in the sand all the way down the row. And he said, if you're with me, step across the line. And you're basically saying, I'm giving my life when you walk across the line. He was giving them the opportunity to leave. And one man came, then another. Eventually they all, I think but one man, all came across. I think Jesus maybe does the same thing. Maybe not in as dramatic a fashion, but as real as that. Are you with me? There's a scripture in the book of Revelation where Jesus writes to one of the churches and he says, I would rather that you're cold or hot. I'd rather you be cold than lukewarm. And it's easy to settle for lukewarm Christianity, isn't it? We're not really having to surrender much. We're not having to press in too much. We're not having to do much of anything. I know him, but I'm kind of following at a distance. I'm just keeping my tabs in there in case he happens to come back soon. I want to be ready to jump on the bus at the last minute. So if you're here this morning and you're a person like that, I hope you can be nudged to say, you know what, I need to get serious about this. I don't want to be lukewarm anymore. I don't want to be a person who just follows him at a distance. I want to follow him with all my heart. So let's begin in chapter 4, in verse 2. Paul's first exhortation to these people is, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And I believe that the one thing that every one of us can do to maintain our zeal for the Lord is prayer. We've got to be in his presence. We've got to be hearing his voice. We've got to be drawing close to him. There's nobody who can inspire you like Jesus Christ can. You can turn on the Christian radio, the Christian TV, go to the Christian bookstore. Nobody, I don't care who they are, nobody on this planet can inspire you to surrender like Jesus Christ did. He came to the Apostle Paul. He said, what are you doing, man? Who are you persecuting? It's me. It's Jesus. Who are you, Lord? What do you want me to do? In just a moment's time, this man who was vehement against Christianity surrendered everything and became one of the greatest men of God. It was that personal touch from Jesus Christ. Jesus walks up to a guy like Matthew, who's a tax collector. He says, Matthew, follow me. And the guy gets up and he drops everything and follows Jesus. He walks up to the fishermen. He says, hey, you guys, drop your nets and follow me. And they lay aside their source of living. They leave their families and say, yes, I'll follow you. Nobody like Jesus can do that. That's how I want to have in my life. Isn't it for you a personal encounter with Jesus Christ where he can look you in the eye, so to speak, and say, come on, follow me. I'll just follow you at a distance. I'm kind of happy where I'm at here, Lord. Maybe one day. See, it's easy to fall into that. And so he says, pray. Pray continuously, steadfastly. This word in the Greek language means to pray constantly, to be devoted to prayer. You know, if you're devoted to something, you give time and attention to it, don't you? I'm devoted to my garden. I'm devoted to my children. I'm devoted to my school. I'm devoted to my basketball team. Whatever it is, we become devoted to something. We give ourselves to it. And it says in Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to prayer. This is the same word. Acts 6:4, the apostle said, we will give our attention to prayer. Same word. Romans 12:12 says we're to be faithful in prayer. And Jesus told us in Luke chapter 18, I'm saying that you ought to always pray and not lose heart. That's from the words of Jesus Christ. And so prayer is to be something that's constantly recurring in our life and a devotion. Now you might say, you know what, I just don't feel a burden to pray. Well, that's not unusual. Lots of people are in that boat. You know what? Just start. Just start. It's like anything else. You begin to build a habit and then a lifestyle. I just want to be with you, Jesus. Taste. We sang a song today, taste and see the Lord is good. And that's in the scripture, taste and see. Once you taste, how many of you know when you've gone to a good pizza place, you go back. You go back and you start telling your friends. And when you say, let's go out for dinner, you say, where do you want to go? To that pizza place over there. Because you've tasted and you know it's good. And you're going over there for something. Same thing. Taste and see. The Lord is good. And when you taste and when you begin to experience Him, you want more. But nobody like Jesus can call us to surrender. So He called him to prayer. I have some reasons why we should pray. There's plenty in the Bible. Here's a few. One is we need time alone with God. Jesus took time alone with His Father. He was very busy about the work of the Lord. He was very busy about the kingdom. But He would pull Himself aside, go into the solitary place, and have that time with His Father. I mean, I don't know what they talked about, but He needed to have that intimacy with God. Even though He was God in the flesh, He wanted the intimacy with His Father. And He's a role model for us. Yeah, we want to be involved in the work of the Lord, but we also want to be pulling aside and spending that time with Him. So we need time alone with the Lord. We have so busy schedules, so much distraction, so many things that want our attention, so many things that want our time. We've got to almost carve it out and say, you know what? I'm going to make time for you, Lord. Another reason why we should pray is some things never happen without prayer. There's this thing in the Bible where Jesus was telling His disciples because they couldn't cast a demon out of a young boy, and He said, this kind comes out by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And so without prayer, that wouldn't have happened. The Bible says that we have not because we ask not. There are certain things that will never happen unless we pray. And I think the third reason, and it's really in line with what I'm saying here tonight, is that prayer, probably more than anything else, helps me to surrender my will to God. You know, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane knelt down and He said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, yours be done. Prayer helps us align our hearts with the will of God. The Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so when I come to the Lord in prayer, I'm really saying, Lord, help me to become aligned with your will in my life. The surrender, the humility, whatever it is that I need, help me to be a man who follows you wholeheartedly, not at a distance. Okay. Paul goes on and he says, while you're praying, pray for me in verse 3. At the same time, pray also for us. Pray for us that God may open a door for the word. I don't know that I've ever seen that in a prayer request come into our church before. I'm not saying that to be negative. I'm just saying these guys seem to have a different focus than we do. And we need to express our prayer requests. I'm not saying don't do that. But I'm saying, look what these guys were praying for. Lord, I want an open door for your word. You guys, when you think of Paul, he's saying, when you think of me, pray for me, I'm going to have an open door. I'm going to have an opportunity to share the word of God with people. Paul was kingdom-minded. He was eternal-minded. And you know when he was praying this? He says, pray for us that God will open a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I'm in prison. What would you be praying for if you were in prison? If you were in prison and you could write letters or send out emails to all your friends, you would say, We are now in prison. Please pray for what? A quick release. Please pray for better food. Please pray they get some new mattresses in here. Please pray. You know what I'm saying? Not Paul. He's saying we want boldness. We want to have the ability to continue to preach your word. We're in prison for this, but we want to continue to do it. Some of us would say, I'm in prison for preaching the word. I don't want to preach the word anymore because I don't want to go back to prison. Not Paul. He's saying, we're in prison for preaching, but we want to continue to preach. Pray for us that we have the ability, an open door, to go and share your word, Lord God. What an amazing man. Now, I'll tell you what, when I hear a man like this talk, I get convicted. I start looking at my own life and my own prayer life. I'm thinking, man, what am I praying for? Bless my food, Lord Jesus. Now I lay me down to sleep. You know, whatever it is, but the man has such a lofty heart in his relationship with Jesus Christ. And I think if you were around a guy like the Apostle Paul, it would inspire you to go further. Hey, you guys, don't forget to pray. And while you're praying, pray this for us. He's almost like saying, here's a model for your prayer life. These are some things you should be praying for. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of your time. So now he's telling these people, as you're out there interacting with the world, walk in wisdom. Outsiders is simply a word that means those who are outside the covenant of God. It's the lost. Walk in wisdom toward those who are lost. Making the best use of your time. Let your speech always be gracious. As God's people, we're out here to share the word of God. We're sharing truth. We're telling the truth to people, but our speech should always be gracious. Seasoned with salt. What's salt do? Salt makes you thirsty. Salt makes things taste good, at least in my opinion. Bible says salt is good, amen? So it says, let your speech be gracious, let it be seasoned with salt. So when you're talking to people, they become thirsty for the Lord. Pray for this. Lord, I just want to have the opportunity when I'm at work, when I'm in school with my neighbors, to be speaking with them with grace, to have seasoned speech with salt so that they begin to be thirsty and hungry for Jesus. Lord, open a door for me. Let this be our prayer so that you may know how you ought to answer every person. So Paul is, by his own example, encouraging people to go further in their prayer life. Pray, but let's be zealous about the work of the Lord. And also then Paul takes another step and he starts talking about the example of other people. You ever been around Christian people that just inspire you? I mean, you're around this person, you think, man, I wish I could love people the way he does or she does. I wish I could, you know, worship God the way I see this person worship. Or I hear this person pray and it inspires me. I want to pray more. Or I hear a person talking about the Word of God. It makes me want to study it. I mean, we all experience that, don't we? There's something of Jesus in each of us that can inspire other people to go further. When I see people come to the Lord and they get excited for Jesus, it makes me want to run faster. I want to stay in front. I don't want people to overtake me. I'm like, man, Lord, they're more zealous than me. I want to get going here. I don't want to just rust out at the end of my life. You know what I mean? I want to be zealous for Jesus. And so if you're here and you get excited for Jesus, you're going to inspire me. You will inspire me to go further. Let's nudge each other on. Let's urge each other on. Amen? It's easy to follow somebody who's following Jesus at a distance. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. I have run the race. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. What a great testimony. I mean, I know when Krissa and Nicole came to our church, did they inspire you to say, you know what, I need to press into something different? Why? Because they're pressing in to spiritual gifts. Hopefully that's a motivation. There's nothing wrong with that. We can inspire each other. And so Paul says, I want to share with you some of my team members that are with me, what they're like. And it can be inspiring. Verse 7, Tychicus, if it's pronounced correctly. I was telling the people last night on Saturday night, this is a great list of new children's names if you'd like to write them down. You plan to have a baby. There's a whole list of great names here. And if you're looking for a unique name that nobody else has, you probably find it right here. Here's my son, Tychicus. He will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother. What a testimony to be a dear brother. I love having dear brothers. It's just people that they're your brother. They just love you. They're with you. They're not going to stab you in the back. They're not going to badmouth you. They're not going to backbite you. They're just a dear brother. You feel a comfort when you're with them and you feel a peace with them. God brings people like this into our life. Dear brothers. Tychicus was one of them for Paul. He's a dear brother. He's also a faithful minister. God's calling us to be faithful people. Faithful is that we do what we say. We keep our commitments. We do what's in the heart of God. When I see people who are faithful, it blesses me. Here's a faithful man. He's walked with the Lord, a faithful woman. She's been a faithful mother. She's raising her children in the ways of the Lord, and it becomes an inspiration for others to go a step further. Here's a faithful minister. Tychicus was out serving others, ministering to them faithfully. And Paul called this out. He's also a fellow servant. A servant. And that's what greatness is in the kingdom of God, isn't it? Some of us like to run away from serving. But we're all called to serve. Everybody is in the body of Christ. Sometime I'm going to put on our website, Alliance Christian Center, click here to see the minister. Click, and it's everybody here. Because you are the ministers. You are the ones who do the work of the ministry. This was Tychicus. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances, that he may encourage your hearts. See, that he may encourage your hearts. We're all called into this ministry to encourage, to lift up, to urge, to help prod each other along, to spur each other on to love and good works. Tychicus is coming. He's coming with Onesimus. There's another great name. He's coming with Onesimus. Onesimus is a faithful and dear brother who is one of you. They will tell you everything that's happening here. Onesimus was, you know who he was? He was actually a slave of a man named Philemon, and he ran away. One day he ran away, and somehow in the plans of God, his path crossed with the Apostle Paul. And I'm not sure if Paul led him to the Lord, but somebody around Paul led him to the Lord, and he came to know Paul. And Onesimus became a brother in Christ. And so Onesimus was with Paul traveling, and he's actually one of the guys who wrote the scriptures down when Paul was dictating. He would write some of the things down. And guess which one of the books is that he wrote, helped write? The book of Philemon. He's writing to Philemon. He says, hey, Onesimus is really a great guy. You need to receive him back. I know he ran away. He was a slave, but he's a brother in Christ now. Receive him back as one. And so Onesimus was with Paul, and he moved from being a runaway slave to being a faithful brother. Isn't that a great story? Every one of us here, like Nate was saying earlier here this morning, we all have a testimony that God's taken us from something to something better, something different, something that glorifies him, and it's something we can uphold before the Lord as a testimony. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends his greetings. You know, it's great to be a good, dear brother. It takes a step further to be a fellow servant, but what about a fellow prisoner? I'm sure there's probably some people who distance themselves from Paul because every time he comes to town, he's going to jail. I mean, I want to serve God, but I just don't want to do it with Paul. Like, he's got a target on his back. You know what I mean? Let me hang out with Onesimus or Aristarchus. Somebody but Paul, because Paul's spending time in prison, but this man, Aristarchus, stayed with Paul and even went to prison with him. He's a fellow prisoner. He sends his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You know who Mark was? John Mark. What a great testimony. John Mark was, first of all, traveling with Paul and Barnabas, going around doing all their missionary work. And one time, the Bible says the work became difficult. How many of you know that work, by definition, is difficult? And so if you want to get involved in the quote-unquote work of the ministry, it's work. It is work. And so John Mark said, yeah, I want to go. I want to travel with Paul, man. It's going to be great to be with Paul. Paul's the man of God. We hear all about Paul. I want to be with Paul. And all of a sudden, being with Paul meant labor. Wait a minute. I didn't sign up for this. I signed up to travel with Paul. I signed up to hang around with Paul. I signed up to fellowship with Paul. Now, you signed up for the work of the ministry. And it got a little bit hot for John Mark. He says, you know what? I think I'm going to leave. And then later on, Paul and Barnabas were talking about their next journey, and Barnabas says, hey, let's get John Mark to go with us. You know what Paul said? I can't take John Mark because he wasn't a faithful brother. He didn't carry his load. And so John Mark, Barnabas, and Paul actually split company over that. Barnabas, being the man who's a great encourager, grabbed John Mark. Praise God for Barnabas. Amen. Amen. Some of us here maybe feel like we're John Mark. You know, I started out well, but I got discouraged, didn't complete, dropped off the map. Maybe you're following Jesus at a distance today, but you know what you need? A Barnabas. You need somebody that will come and just wrap their arms around you and say, come on, man, we can do this. And Barnabas spent time with John Mark, and he helped him grow and helped him mature. And later on, Paul wrote this about John Mark. When you come, bring John Mark, because he's profitable for me in the ministry now. And so John Mark was a message of redemption. He blew it at one time in his life, but he's a great man now. And Paul says, he can be part of my team. He's very profitable in the work of the Lord. You've received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who's called Justice. This isn't Jesus Christ. It's a different Jesus. It's just a guy with the name Jesus, who's called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers in the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Not only are they comforting to you, but they've been a comfort to me. They've urged me on. They've exhorted me. They've called me to move forward. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ, sends his greetings. Epaphras was actually the guy who came first to preach the gospel in Colossians, the book of, in the town of Colossae. You can read that in chapter 1, verse, I think it's 12 or 17. So Epaphras went there and preached the gospel, and he continued to travel with Paul, but he had a burden for those people. And the Bible says that he was a man who was praying for them. Epaphras is always wrestling in prayer for you. And he's praying that you can stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. We all need people like this in our life. If you could do anything for me, pray for me. Just pray that we can be in the will of God, that we can understand God's voice, that we can hear his direction. Pray for us. And Epaphras was praying for this church, that they would stand in the will of God. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those in Laodicea, in Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Demas was there with Paul. And you know what happened to Demas later on in his life? There's a scripture that says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. What happened to Demas? Here he is, part of the team, man of God, walking with Paul, but at some point, he says, you know what? He's forsaken me. He loves his present world. He moved away from following closely to just at a distance somehow. Something happened. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha. There's a great woman's name. And the church in her house. Here's my daughter, Nympha. And my son, Onesimus. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of Laodicea, and that you in turn read the letter from there. And finally, tell Archippus. That's my favorite. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. Isn't that amazing that Paul, in writing this letter, singles out one guy in the church? You wouldn't want your name in this, would you? Tell Kirk, see to it that you complete the work I've given you to do. What Paul's doing is he's urging this man to move forward. Archippus, you have received something. You have something from the Lord. It's not something that you concocted, not something you thought up, something that Jesus put in your heart to do for his kingdom. Let's do it. Archippus, he's trying to shake him. Maybe he has lethargy. Maybe he's just coasting along. Maybe he's following Jesus at a distance. And he's saying, look, come on, get on board with this thing. And then Paul says an amazing thing here. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. You know what? Onesimus and Epaphras were actually writing, penning this letter. And then Paul at the very end says, give me that paper. And he grabs the pen and he goes, this is in my own hand, Archippus. I want you to know that you have received something from the Lord. I want you to do it. Fulfill it. Take a step further. Don't follow Jesus at a distance. I'm writing this in my own hand because I love you and I want you to know how important it is to me. Step into the thing that God's called you to do. And then he says, remember my chains. Doesn't that convict me? It does. It does convict me. Remember my chains. He's saying, you're sitting at home, laissez-faire, peace, eating bonbons, doing your thing. I'm in prison for this. I'm suffering for Jesus. I'm saying, Archippus, come on. Can I urge you to move further? Take another step in your walk with me. I'm writing this with my own hand. Remember my chains. I'm all in for this, he said. Remember my chains. And then he says, grace be with you. Because none of this is intended to put people under bondage. It is to say, receive the grace of God. Receive the grace of God to move us out in the ministries we have. I just want to encourage you, if you'll stand with me, we're going to close in prayer. I want to encourage you today, if you have maybe a condition in your life where you've become a distant follower of Jesus Christ, you kind of hear his voice once in a while, but you're just not on the front line. I just want to urge you to take a step forward. Under the grace of God, Lord, give me the grace to move further with you. Maybe you want to be a person like the Apostle Paul who could say, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, you see the Rodriguez family. You know why they're coming to Jesus? Because they see Jesus in other people. That's why. It's the only reason. They're seeing what it's like for a person to follow Jesus Christ. And they're saying, I want some of that in my life. I want that in my life. And God's called us all to be that kind of a person, to inspire others. Maybe you're not there right now, but maybe what you need to do is find somebody who can inspire you. Find your Barnabas. Find somebody who can come alongside you and just urge you on. Come on. Come on, we can do this. And to step away from following Christ at a distance and moving forward with him. Do you have something to share, Bill? Yeah. Father, I just ask you this morning to bless your people. Father, help us to honor your commitment to us. You gave everything, Lord. You gave your life on the cross, and you just call us to follow you. I pray that if there's any here today that are following at a distance, that you would shake them loose from that, Lord, this morning, and by your grace, move us all a step further. Father, I thank you for the Apostle Paul, for the wonderful way you used him, and for his total surrender. Lord, we have so much of the Bible given to us because of a man who dedicated his life for this, Lord. Help us to realize that we're living in this world for a purpose. And let us be linked closely with you so we find that and walk in it. I ask you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Yes. Yes.
Maybe this isn't the right time, but did you get an email from Mark about September 20th?
I did.
I feel tremendous conviction to say something.
Well, come up here so it's up on the thing. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to go right from here out these doors. We can bring the kids out. We're going to have a picture or take a picture. And then after we're done with that, we're going to have some time for prayer for people who need